said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome this week to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts. I am our little humble co-host here, and we have with us Country Joe himself.
And I'm right here, ready to go. And our first guest is who, Karen?
Our first guest is Eric Lofgren of Pampered Pullets Farm, and I won't dare you to say that three times fast.
Wow, I guess so. He's been on the show before.
He has, mm-hmm. So he won't be as nervous this time. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Eric.
Well, thank you for having me on. How's it going, Joe and Karen?
Hey, it's going excellent over here.
That's good.
Now, I know Eric is in Florida just like you are, Joe, so when he said it's starting to get cooler nights and it was down to 69 degrees, I thought, that's daytime temperatures up here.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? But,
we need some cooler weather, Joe.
Yeah, we do. God. So, hey, you're still writing books there, I hear.
I am. The first book is doing really good, Talking Chickenese. That's doing really well. I'm about halfway through my second book, which is going to be on poultry diseases. And then I'm partway through the third book, which will be on the personalities and mannerisms of chickens. So I'm having fun writing those.
Boy, I guess so. Wow. Yeah, so you want to promote your books? Tell people how they can get a hold of them?
Sure. The books are available directly through me here at the Pampered Pullets Farm. The easiest way is to email me at thepamperedpullet@yahoo.com. That's thepamperedpullet@yahoo.com. The books are $16.95 and $3 shipping anywhere in the United States.
Hey, there we go. Boy, that sounds good.
I know that, with September coming in, cooler temperatures are happening, at least in the rest of the country, if not with you guys. We wanted to talk a little bit about, what that means when you have chickens.
Sure. The folks that live in the northern states, you deal with cold weather a lot worse than we do down here. We welcome it every winter, and we don't have nearly the problems with our birds that the people in the north do. And the one thing that the cold weather, you got to do a lot of preparations, and just starting into fall now is a good time to start thinking about those preparations of getting your coops ready and the birds ready for going through the winter months.
Mm-hmm. And the longer light, that's going to start up pretty soon, isn't it?
As soon as we hit the fall equinox in September, I think it's September here, towards the end of the month.
September 20th.
Then, the days are going to be starting to get shorter and shorter, and the birds are going to start laying less. We're going to go through molt. In fact, I don't know about you, Joe, but my birds have already started molting this year, which is kind of scary. So,
wow. Uh-huh. That's true. Mine haven't, they have started.
Yeah, about half of mine have molted, are into molt right now, and last year they didn't start until November, so they're starting a little earlier this year, so it's kind of indicating we're going to have a little bit colder winter this year.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Karen.
When someone has chickens for the first time, what does the molt just mean? They shed a whole bunch of feathers and grow new ones?
Yeah, it's a natural process that the birds go through. They will, an adult bird, generally over a year old, will go through a heavy molt, which means that they'll lose probably 90% of their feathers, and they'll look pretty bare, pretty naked, running around. And the feathers will start growing back in, and they're going to look like a porcupine for a while until those feather shafts come off and the feathers actually develop.
Uh-huh.
Nothing to worry about. It's a natural process.
I imagine that must be quite funny looking to someone who's never, who got chickens for the first time this spring, and they're wondering what the heck is happening. Why are all my chickens' feathers falling out?
Yeah.
It'll look like you've had an industrial pillow fight.
That's what my coops look like on the inside right now.
Mine haven't gotten quite that bad, but they will get that bad. I know you've got more chickens than I do, Joe, but, when you're out raking whole piles of feathers every day.
It's true.
It can become pretty overwhelming, especially for somebody who's never been through it.
Yeah, because I was starting to think about that the other day. I said, boy, we're going to have to start putting on the lights here at night pretty soon, to get those, what do we need, 14 hours of light, right, to get good eggs.
You got to maintain a minimum of 14 hours of light.
And
it doesn't take much light. You want to, if you're going to run artificial lights over your birds, you want to have the lights come on in the morning so the birds go to sleep under natural light. And so you keep turning your lights on earlier and earlier to maintain that 14 hours. And like here with my birds, I'll start my lights at about 2 o'clock in the morning. The neighbors don't like it because the rooster's crowing, but they get used to it, and they like the eggs. You got to kind of feed them some eggs every once in a while to keep them on the happy side.
Bribing the neighbors is allowed.
I've got some people, I don't know if this is right or not, they leave their lights on, like they'll go out at night and turn them on because they don't have them on timers. They leave them on all night.
It's not a good thing to do because the birds do need to get some rest. In the commercial houses, they will even shut them off for part of the time just because the bird does need to have that mental clock in them to be able to function normally. It's always better to shut your lights off at some point.
Gentlemen, I'm going to cut you off.
Already?
I know Joe always gets mad at me, but, we do these shows one segment at a time. So we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio and talking with Eric Lofgren of Pampered Pullets Farm.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And we're talking now about chickens and light because we're getting into fall. Now, Eric, you say it's 14 hours of light that the chickens should get?
Yeah, that's a minimum of light per day to maintain their egg-producing capabilities is 14. And any more than that is fine, but you don't need to go any much more than that. Maybe 15 hours if you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's good. That's what I do. I actually run the white Christmas lights. I found that's really good. It's just enough light.
That's what I do in my pens too. Is I've got a string of Christmas lights that runs all the way through my pens, and they're on a little cheap $12 timer, and my timer kicks on it. I work it to where it eventually will kick on at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and kicks off about 8 o'clock in the morning, so those lights aren't running all day. But chicken really doesn't need a whole lot of light to keep them laying. In even the commercial houses, they go by what they call foot candles of light. And to keep a chicken laying, it's only 2 foot candles of light, which, to give you an idea, they go by in a white water, the 1 gallon water is like most people use, the white plastic. If you can see the level of the water from 8 feet away in whatever light you're using, that light is bright enough. So just like 1 7-watt Christmas light bulb, or like what you'd use in a nightlight, would be plenty of light for a pen that's 10 by 10 or even a little bit bigger.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to worry about, you know, getting 40-watt bulbs or 70-watt bulbs. Just even those little Christmas lights are plenty.
Mm. Sure, yeah. You do not need a whole lot of light for them. As long as it'll get them up off the roost, that's all you need.
Uh-huh. Yep. And that's great. That's great information. You know, I've been doing that for, you know, forever, but that's great for, because a lot of people don't realize that. And
you got to realize that your birds, when they're going through molt, most breeds will stop laying because the replacement of the feathers takes so much protein and calcium from their system that they can't produce an egg. They don't have enough in their system. So during that time when they're molting, you can actually force it along by adding more protein to their diet.
And oyster shell. I give them a lot of oyster shell. Do you?
You can do oyster shell is the calcium involved in it. You can use like black oil sunflower seeds, small kitten kibble, cat food that's got real high protein. Any supplement that has lots of protein, you could give them during that time to boost their protein levels up around 22% to 28% while they're molting.
Right.
Once they're done molting, generally a chicken will not lay much under normal conditions until spring.
Mm-hmm.
But to force that along, then we use artificial lighting to make them want to lay as if it's spring again. And that's the whole object behind the artificial lighting. A lot of people
and
use that time to lay.
That's why people from up here move to Florida for the winter, because, of course, dark falls a lot faster up here. I'm right outside of Boston. And so, you know, our sunset comes earlier and earlier and earlier, and earlier than it does down there. I've been to Florida in the winter month, and I'm like, it's still daylight out. What's wrong?
Yeah, I know. It gets dark at 3:30 up there, doesn't it?
Not quite yet. That's a little further closer to Christmas. Which is probably why human beings started putting Christmas lights on trees, you know, to enforce their own amount of daylight.
God.
Eric,
how are you doing with your ceramas?
I'm doing really good. I've been working really hard on the Millie Fleur color line and also size, and I've got a couple really nice ones coming in right now that I've hatched probably 100 of them so far this year, and I've kept two.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm going to be in the market again for a couple more. I love the little Class A's, the little ones, you know.
Yeah, that's what I've got, right? I've got one little girl that I'm hoping she'll stay a Class A, and she's really nice Millie Fleur coloring. The Class A's are really tough because because they're not going to breed themselves, because the eggs are too small that you have such a hard time breeding them.
Right.
You know, and so I generally use the Class B's or Class BC's, and then breed against a smaller girl and see what happens. So, they're doing really well this year.
Good, good. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, you got any other interesting breeds of chickens over there we should know about?
Actually, I went back to basics on most of my breeds. I do mainly production breeds, and so I'm working real hard this year on my Delawares, which are heritage Delawares. I'm also working really hard on heritage Rhode Island Reds.
Uh-huh.
And then I've got Barred Rocks, a few Salmon Favorels left, and a few Americanas left. But I'm really concentrating on the Delawares and the Ceramas this year.
Wow. Yeah, because I got those two Ceramas from you, and, I got to get some more.
Yeah, I know those, unfortunately, weren't the smallest ones. Those were probably Class B's, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
That's why they were quite full grown when you got them from me, and I was afraid they were going to be Class B's or Class BC.
That's why I'd love to get some Class A's, yeah.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've got the one little girl that I'm hoping will remain in Class A, and then I've got one that I breed with that's a Class A, and that's all the Class A's I have.
Now, Eric or Joe, either one of you can answer this. What constitutes, this is for listeners who are new to chickens, what constitutes a Class A, a Class B, a Class C? Is that all based on height or weight or both?
It'll be based on weight. Class A being the small, well, they also have a micro class, which is very rare to ever see a micro. But the Class A would be the smallest of the breed. Class D would be the largest. And most people do not breed Class Ds other than for pet quality because they are such a large version of the Cerama.
Mm-hmm. And so what? How much would a Class A weigh as opposed to a Class B or C?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
I'm glad she asked you, Eric.
Joe, can you help me out here?
Well, less than 16 ounces, right?
I think a Class A is 13 ounces, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot of difference. There's not a lot of variance there of the sizes. And so I was going to try to...
Yeah,
I know it's on my website, but other than that, I couldn't tell you offhand.
Uh-huh. Well, I've seen some Ceramas. They're a little smaller than a pigeon, the real Class A's, right? I mean, how big
would be, about the size of a quail, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty small, and that's full grown. And
that would be at about 14 months of age. They would be that small.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's
they're
big
a tiny little bird, but they're a whole lot of fun, as I'm sure you can attest to, Joe.
you got to keep them in almost like a large bird cage.
you certainly can. I mean, that's what makes them nice, and they're great for people who don't have a whole lot of room.
And they make excellent pets.
They don't take a lot of room to raise them in.
And they're
right,
real
so
friendly.
They'd be a good backyard breed for someone in an urban setting.
Excellent.
They're great for kids that are in 4-H because they're so handleable. You don't have to worry about them too much. The more you handle these birds, the friendlier they get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and mine are. mine walk around.
That's true of any kind of bird, I think. As long as the more you handle it, the friendlier they'll get. But I know some chickens have a limit of how friendly they will get. You know, Eric, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. We are running out of time.
Well, thank you for having me back anytime. It's a pleasure.
Why, yes. And Eric, does he have time to promote his books for you before we go?
Or what's your website, Eric?
Yes.
My website is thepamperedpulletsfarm.com, thepampered. PULLETSFARM.com.
Well, there.
Excellent. And we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be. I'm a
welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we have our next guest with us, Joe. We have Roger Sipe, and he is the editor of Chickens Magazine.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm glad to have you back, Roger. I got some questions for you, too, about your magazine, which we enjoy. We get every month, or whenever you send them. I shouldn't say every month. But it is going to go monthly, though, right? You were talking about doing that.
We don't have plans for it right now. We're going to go to subscriptions starting in 2014.
Uh-huh.
But right now we're just bi-monthly, so every other month.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I enjoy getting them. Like I say, we just got one here a while back. And I was looking at your articles and stuff, and I was thinking about writing an article for that. Now, how do I go about doing that, if anybody wants to do that? Is that a hard deal to do or a process?
They just need to contact us and tell us what they want to write about and what, you know, their credentials are. Best way to reach us would be just chickens@i5publishing.com.
Okay.
And then we would contact them and let them know what we think.
Okay. Because I had a real good idea only because I was down there because I live in Florida. How about the chickens of Key West, the history of the chickens of Key West? Nobody's done an article on those, I don't believe. Have they?
I haven't seen one. We have one of our writers, actually, I think she spent some time down there, and she has pitched the idea a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
The other magazine that I work on, Urban Farm Magazine, we're actually going to go do a road trip to Key West later in 2014 because they do a lot of sustainable things down there. And, of course, just the chickens down there are just crazy.
It is. Well, that's why I got so interested when I was down there looking at these chickens and – you know how we pamper our chickens up here, feeding them in the whole thing? These chickens down there mainly live on popcorn, potato chips, hamburger rolls. and I'm looking at these chickens, and they're so healthy. And I'm thinking, my God, how many people up here would feed their flock of chickens popcorn and potato chips? And I swear they run in and out of the bar rooms, but yet they're wild. I mean, you can't touch them, or, you know, they try to fly away. But, I mean, they'll run under your table, and they've run in and out of bar rooms. I've seen them going in and out, and I'm laughing. And I thought, my God, nobody's ever written a story about that. That would be a cool article about that.
Yeah, and, it would certainly be interesting.
Yeah. And I talked to a lot of people down there about who owns them, and everybody said, nobody owns them.
You know? Right. No. The chickens own Key West. No one
yes.
owns the chickens.
But from what I understand, they've been around for like 175 years. The Cubans have brought them over. And pretty much now, nobody bothers with them.
You know and one of the cover articles on your most recent issue of the magazine is Eat This, Not That, Survive
yes.
the Hunger Games. I'm guessing potato chips and popcorn are not on the Eat This list.
Correct, yeah. People do like to feed table scraps and stuff like that to their chickens. I would avoid – popcorn probably is fine. If it's like unbuttered, you know, just air-popped popcorn is probably fine. The chickens actually gives them some exercise chasing each other around and trying to get the little kernels and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. hamburgers, I would probably not suggest that.
But it's amazing. I was just so fascinated, you know, with all the Key West, of course, being a chicken guy, I'm just fascinated watching these chickens and how they dart in and out of cars, traffic on Duval Street. Nobody ever gets hit. And, you know, I'm just shaking my head and thinking, boy, these birds have really adapted since 175 years ago. And I just can't believe how healthy they are for what they eat. And I thought, wow, boy, that's worth some pitching. And there's some beautiful, beautiful chickens down there. And, boy,
and of course, you know, being in Florida, they've not only adapted and survived, but they have better weather year-round than they would, you know, up here in New England. And
yeah.
I imagine they do eat, besides the popcorn and potato chips and hamburger buns, I imagine there are lots of bugs down there for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice laid-back atmosphere, too, so they're not very stressed, I'm sure.
No, not at all. So anyways, Roger, what do you got coming out in your next magazine? You can give us a little preview of that?
Sure, yeah. The one that's out, actually it'll be on sale next week, is the November-December issue that you were talking about. Beyond that, in 2014 is the five-year anniversary of Chickens Magazine. We'll have been around for 5 years next year, so we're going to be celebrating all year long.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a photo contest we're going to announce in our January-February issue. So people can send us their photos of their cutest chicken or cutest chick, their best hen, best rooster, best multi-bird, you know, your chickens together or a flock or something like that, and even a category on best coop. So we've got a lot of things planned, so it should be a good year next year.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds it. So have you noticed, like, more copies are selling now when they go out? I bet you have.
Yeah, even right off the bat, though, Chickens Magazine did very well. We're only on the newsstand right now, but like I said, we're going to go to subscription starting in 2014. But, mm-hmm. yeah, just each issue keeps selling more and more copies. So people are just – I think people want to know where their food comes from, and more people are raising backyard chickens for, you know, just for eggs and meat as well. So
right. That's very true.
I helped someone move this weekend. You all know that I'm in the Boston area, and mm-hmm. I was driving this gentleman over to his new apartment in Somerville. And those of you who don't know, Somerville is very dense, very compact. It's right close into Boston. You know, a lot of mm-hmm. three-deckers, very urban. And as we pulled the car up, I heard a rooster crow, and then my friend said, "Oh, and by the way, the neighbors have chickens and a rooster."
Oh, wow. God. Well, here's something that somebody just sent to me. We were talking about where your meat comes from. You're going to like this, Karen. Here's a big headline. It says USDA to allow China to process chickens and ship them back to the U.S. So I'm thinking, boy, that's not too good.
Yeah, so, I saw that this morning, too, and we posted it on our Facebook page. I think that's just more reason for people to start raising their own chickens, because if our government is selling us out to that degree, uh-huh. It's like you got to know what you're putting into your food. And, you know, the simplest way is to have a couple of chickens. You know, it's not that hard to take care of them. And
mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, how old are these chickens by the time they get back over here? I realize they freeze them or whatever, but still, you know, it's got to be a month of riding on a boat back from China, processed.
And, you know, people are more and more concerned these days about their carbon footprint. Well, if a chicken is raised here in the U.S., then it has to travel all the way to China and back. You know, that chicken has a much larger carbon footprint than the one in your backyard who is actually producing fertilizer for your grass anyway.
Yeah. God. Well, boy, when I saw that, I went, oh, my God, am I glad I raised my own meat chickens. And my neighbors are, too. And, yeah, that's just amazing, you know, how the government's just doing that sort of thing. And then I had another article, you probably got it, too, where they finally admitted to putting arsenic in the chicken feed, the commercial chicken feed. Did you get that one?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just looking here on my desk here. I just had it.
All the listeners can hear that Joe doesn't quite have the most organized desk in the world. We hear you shuffling papers.
Desks. I got three desks in here. but anyway,
In your Hunger Games article, it has a do-it-yourself feed recipe. You know, we are running out of time for this segment, but that's okay. That's okay. Don't panic. We still have two more segments to go. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk about the do-it-yourself feed recipe, Roger, if that would be okay with you.
Sure.
All right, folks. We will, and Joe, by the time we get back for our next segment, I'm sure you'll have found that article about the arsenic. Folks, we will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you have any questions for Joe or any of our guests or myself even, you can go on our website at allpaws, P-A-W-S, pettalk.com, and there's a form right there on the homepage. Folks, we'll be right back with more.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we're talking with Roger Sipe of Chickens Magazine. Now, Joe, you were talking about arsenic in the feed.
Yes, I just found it. They show a picture of chickens. It looks like New York City at traffic time, all these chickens in this closed-in barn. And here's the headline. The headline says, FDA finally admits chicken meat contains cancer-causing arsenic, which I knew. It's a breast enhancer for chickens and turkeys, and I knew that. And that's why I've always fed all natural and, you know, all the stuff I can. Including the greens. But, you know, that's another reason right there why people ought to, you know, have chickens in their backyard. Don't you agree to that, Roger?
Certainly, yeah. And even if you can't have chickens, it's if you can find a farmer nearby or somebody who raises them and, you know, purchase them from somebody that you know, that's another way to go.
Right. Yeah. It's the whole farm-to-table movement. And I know it's not in every city that you can have chickens in your backyard. Some of the urban places, I know the town next door to me, you can have in Newton, you can have chickens, but you can't have roosters. So that's why I was so startled when I pulled up to a house in Somerville and heard a rooster crowing. And the person I was helping move said, oh, yeah. And he doesn't really, you know, just crow at dawn. I said, no, that's one of those urban myths.
Yes. Uh-huh. But a lot of the cities, little cities around Orlando now are permitting chickens. And, you know, that's getting really big down here. And there's still some little towns around Orlando that haven't yet, but that are going that way. So I think you're going to see this nationwide in about no time, because I think people are really getting concerned, you know, over their eggs and their food, their chicken and their turkeys and now I noticed a lot of feeds, Roger, I don't know if you've noticed it, they're trying to do away with corn for the chickens because it's all GMO'd. And they're supplementing with peas and other stuff, you know, the corn part of it. And I don't know if you've noticed that too.
Yeah, certainly. It just seems like all these things with GMOs and the things they're putting into our food, it's scary. Especially when it's just basic food that, to be able to feed the chicken. So why are they making it so difficult? I guess it's just such a large, well, it's profit-based, I'm sure. But
everything is profit-based, but, you know, the thing is we need to be responsible as consumers and know what we're feeding. Now, your do-it-yourself feed recipe, is that so that people don't have to, you know, get commercial feed that they're not sure what's in it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to, you know, they're do-it-yourselfers, and creating your own chicken feed is it's very time-consuming, and it's not difficult, but it does take a lot of work. And most of the commercial feeds are, you know, they're well-balanced and they're dependable, so it's a lot easier just to use the commercial feeds. But you know, more and more people want to know exactly what they're going into their chickens, and most of the ingredients you can either grow yourself or you can get pretty easily. So. But it's very time-consuming.
And now I've been offsetting a lot of my feed with alfalfa and my chickens really, really love it. Fresh cut alfalfa. And that's really been a godsend for me because the chickens did cut way back on the grain. And, it's a little expensive, but boy, a big bale of that goes me a long time. And the chickens just absolutely love it because it's all like fresh grass. And I know where it comes from. So there's another trick, you know, that people can offset their feed with.
And I know you sometimes, Joe, get feed from a mill that you know where it's ground.
Oh, yes, I definitely do, and I get mine custom ground up there, and that's why it's all natural. And a lot of the people around now go up there, and they say, I want what Joe's getting. But, I mean, the guy in our town, he does a grain mill, and he used to be a chicken. His father and grandfather ran it as a chicken farm, and they used to obviously get the bulk grain, and then they started selling it to people for horses and goats and sheep and the whole thing. But they kept the chicken recipe, and he says, I can't guarantee it's organic, but I can guarantee it's all natural. And I said, that's good enough for me. So, and I watch him put in, there's a brand of supplements that he puts in that are organic, but it's not all organic. The rest of it's just natural. And I've been feeding my chickens that for many years. And it's more expensive, but it's worth it, you know, for me anyway, because it gives me the satisfaction of knowing I'm not eating chemicals. And they have said, now I don't know, Roger, if you've heard this, but commercial chicken food, they say could be at least 30%, it's genetic, you know, it's not natural. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that's scary to think what the 30% they're sticking in there that's not grain, you know, like arsenic.
Or if it's maybe it's they're talking about the GMO type crops, which it seems like anything you eat today, it's got GMOs in it, and it's hard to find things that don't. And there's just not enough research yet to find out what are the long term effects on this. So.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good article in the magazine, too, is getting into that, you know, offsetting your chicken feed yourself and finding a grain mill around because they're around.
I was going to ask about that, you know, how someone would, you know, because I bet 99% of the American public doesn't know what a grain mill is and how to find one.
Mm-hmm. Well, wherever they got horses, and they have to feed grain in these mills. The bag stuff is commercial, and I don't like that because you can read the label. I've got some labels right here, and there's words on there I couldn't even begin to pronounce. And I have no idea what it is. But if there is grain mills around, that's the place to go because they'll custom blend these things any way you want. And you don't – I buy bulk. I buy 1,000 pounds a week. But he'll make it in 50-pound bags, and that's the nice part. So
if you go to your local feed store, they'll probably be able to tell you who their grain mill is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they will, but they try to push the commercial stuff, which naturally they get – that's higher – when you buy it bulk, like I bring out my own barrels, big 55-gallon plastic drums, and we fill those up. So when you buy bulk, you're getting it really, really cheap. Cheaper, I should say. Not, but that's the way to go. But they will bag it in 50-pound bags for you. I see people out there all the time that have a dozen, two dozen chickens, you know, buying 100 pounds of feed. And it's just, like I say, you know, you supplement it. I supplement it with all my grass. I've got 5-acre lawn here that I mow, and I bag it, and I feed it to them. Of course, my grass is full of weeds, so, and they love that.
But that's okay. It's a good variety of greens for them, and it's all good for them. You know, we are running out of time with this segment, folks. And Joe hates it when I say that, but we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show. And we wanted to actually, my producer told us to give a shout out to Scott and Paul who are listening from eggcarton.com today. So welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we'll be right back with more.
As As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we were just talking about grain and feeds, but we have with us Roger Sipe from Chickens Magazine. And one of the things, one of the other articles in this issue that's just coming out onto newsstands, we get mailed our copy, so we kind of get a sneak preview to everybody else, is 20 Tips to Enduring Winter's Bone.
Yeah, talk about that, Roger, a little bit.
Yeah, it's, of course, right now, you know, I'm in Southern California, and we're still dealing with some heat and humidity, but it's never too early to get ready for winter. And in some parts of the country, you know, you've got to get your coop ready and get your hens prepared, because once it gets there, it's too late.
That's true.
That's right. And we were talking earlier in the show about the amount of light chickens need and supplementing that light. For those of us, you know, you're in Southern California, Joe's in Florida. Well, I'm up here in Massachusetts, okay? I have less light and cooler temperatures already. And so what other tips besides the hours of light do you have for people getting ready to winter their flock over?
Well, just, you know, going through your coop and making sure you don't have any holes where drafts can get through. And, you know, chickens are very hardy for the most part, so they're going to keep warm. And you don't want your coop to be too warm. But it's, you know, to put some hay bales along the outside if you can, or some type of insulation. And just, you know, they're going to get bored if they're inside the whole time, so you want to be able to have a chicken run that, if you have snow, you want to clear out some snow that they can walk around on so their feet aren't too cold. Mm-hmm. Just things like that.
Yeah, things you don't think of when you're down here. Yeah, it's you know, but that is true. The hay bales, yeah, because I can remember I used to live way up north. I can remember that farmers putting bales of hay around the edges of their coops. I remember that from a long time ago. And plenty of they always just put a lot of shavings, sawdust shavings, wood shavings in the barn. That seemed to help them on their feet, I guess, for cold or whatever. But that, you know, like I said, I didn't have chickens when I was up there, so I didn't have to worry about that. But that was what the old timers did.
But, yeah, actually, in our next issue, we're going to be having an article on someone in Alaska who's going to give us tips on how they keep chickens up there. So that should be really interesting.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
They probably think I have it easy here in the Boston area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they regard you and Joe as just, you know, mere amateurs there in your warm climate. Do you have to worry about, now you said chickens are pretty hardy. Are there some breeds that are hardier than others?
Certainly, yeah. Like, you know, the Buckeye chicken that came out of Ohio, it's definitely was bred for Ohio weather. So it's going to do better in cold weather than, say, some of the more Mediterranean breeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, a lot of like the New Hampshire and Delaware, a lot of the ones that were developed in the Northeast there, they're definitely ready for the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hardier chicken. That's good. And also, Roger, I wanted to, you know, how you do your recipes in your magazine?
Yeah.
I get a lot of people have been asking me about beer can chicken recipes. And you might want to consider putting some of that in. I did get some, you know, from people around here that cooks and homemade chefs and all of that. But that's a big thing down here. I don't know if it is everywhere, but boy, down here, beer can chicken. That's what, when they buy my meat chickens, that's what they want. They want a 3.5-4 pound chicken, and they want beer can chicken recipes. And so that may be another thought for your magazine.
Yeah, I think we might ask our readers to get their different recipes for it. Because, yeah, it's popular. I've heard about it, and I've done it myself. So
And I'm sure it's one of those things that everybody has their own special best recipe.
Yes.
I've got about
six of them here that everybody's given me. Joe, try this one. You know, and you can buy the racks like at Walmart or wherever, and they're like $3 or $4 or steel when you put the beer can in the middle and the chicken over it, because a lot of people were just putting the chicken on the beer can, opening the beer can and putting all their spices in the beer, and it was tipping over on the grill. Now they've made a little rack that holds the chicken standing up with a beer can in the middle. And the racks are only like, I think I paid less than $4. But so they get me onto those. Yep.
And that'll be good for, you know, households of teetotalers that don't have beer cans hanging around, because I'm sure doing it with a can of Sprite is just not going to have the same effect.
Oh, God, no. But, that's the thing. Like I say, that seems to be the big craze down here. And I did go through a lot of magazines looking for beer can chicken, and I don't know if it's relatively new, something new or whatever, but I did find some. But most of the cookbooks don't even have it. And I thought, wow, next time I talk to Roger, I'm going to have to tell him, put beer can recipes. Everybody loves beer can chicken out on the grill, or you can cook them inside in the oven. But, I can't tell you how many people, you know, sending me recipes and telling me, try this one, try that one. And, you know, I've tried, I'll bet you 5 or 6, and I've got 2 now that I just absolutely love. So that'd be a good thing.
And Roger, do you have a test kitchen there at Chickens Magazine, or is it just all up to, you know, the various writers to cook in their own kitchens?
Basically it's an unpaid person that does it for us. It's my wife. So she comes up with the recipes and she cooks them and she feeds them to me, and then she photographs them and everything. So I'm very blessed to have a wonderful chef in my house. So
yes, yes.
So you get to do the chicken test eating.
Yeah. So yes.
So have you tried beer can chicken, Roger?
I have. That's when we first launched Chicken Magazine. That was one of the first, I think, recipes that we did. Our other magazine, Hobby Farms, had a recipe that we kind of altered and tried it. My first, like you said, the first time you do it, the beer can may tip over or whatever. I didn't have that equipment, which I wish I would have had. So maybe we'll revisit it in the future.
Yeah, they got them at all the big box stores. I've seen them everywhere now. They're in the barbecue department. That's where I got it at Walmart. It's in the barbecue department, and it's really cute. And so your chicken won't tip over, and there's a rack in the middle for the beer can. You put the chicken over it, and I highly recommend that, because there's no more spills or because when it's hot, you can't touch it. So
right. Yeah? You don't want to be dealing with hot beer spilled all over your oven if you're doing it inside either.
Right. So this is the easy way to do it. They'd never have a problem with them tipping over. So that's quite a blessing getting one of those things. So I've got half a dozen of those.
I'm going to break in because we're going to run out of time for this week.
Oh.
And so I want to give Roger a chance. If people are interested in your magazine, where can they find it? Where do they? How can they communicate with you?
Right now it's just sold on newsstands. I mean, it's at various Walmarts, and they can go to wheresmymagazine.com and type it, the name in and their zip code, or they can just go to chickensmagazine.com, and we're putting up information on there. As far as when we go to subscriptions, we should have some news in another month or two. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Excellent. Very, very good. And folks can even ask if they can't remember what Roger just said. You know, if you're listening to this while you're driving down the road, we don't want you making a wreck trying to write stuff down. If you go on allpawspettalk.com, there's a form right there on the homepage. Go ahead and ask that question, and Joe or I will email you the Roger's information.
Yeah.
You know, I want to thank Roger. Oh. Thank you so much for being with us. We're glad that you were able to take time. I know you get crunched with deadline issues, mm-hmm. and you probably cringed when Joe said, you're going to go to every month, right?
Yes. Well, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, but there's a lot more going into it. I've worked in publishing myself than you humble readers know. Folks, we are so glad you've been with us this week listening, and we are about to sign off here on Country Joe's Chicken Show. Joe, will you say it with me?
Oh, yes. Are you ready?
All right. Yep.
May the flock
be with you.